Life coaching and discovery. Inspiration with an invitation to learn from a self-discovery guide. Mark is passionate about you making positive changes in your life so that it becomes a vibrant, ongoing journey of growth and discovery. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. Now, here's your host, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference, that hopefully inspires you to think of possibilities that perhaps you've given up on, that you're not really thinking about right now. And every week I invite somebody who I consider a cutting-edge thought leader, somebody whose life is about a positive message, about inspiring us, giving us something to look forward to kind of interrupt our thinking when we're not thinking positively or we're not thinking well or we're just in a slump. And in some way, she gets us out of that with her music. She's a voice of inspiration. She has several CDs out. She has books out. And her name is Karen Drucker. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. When I was looking through your materials, there's a quote that you said about Mother Teresa: "We cannot do great things, only small things with love." That is my intention with my music. If I'm making a difference in some small way, then I'm happy.
Yep, that's it.
So, that's it, huh?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I started off many, many years ago as a, when I first started doing music, I was just, you know, I was trying to get a record deal. I was writing songs. I was trying to get published. And I was writing songs that, you know, the publishers wanted, which was usually songs about my man done left me, life is in the toilet,
right.
Let me tell you all about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, that's what I was doing. And my life wasn't working. Then I started playing in blues clubs because I love singing the blues, blues clubs, and my life wasn't working. And it wasn't really until I discovered writing positive message songs, and that happened completely by a fluke, by, you know, subbing for a singer who was singing at a New Thought church in Napa, California. And, you know, she just said, "Well, just come sing a few happy songs. That's all they want. They just want happy songs." And I'm like, "What are happy songs? I don't do happy songs." But it was
right.
A gig. It was Sunday morning. Okay, I'll show up. And it turned out to be that one little New Thought church that I played at completely changed the course of my life, because all of a sudden, you know, I started playing there more often, and I was just trying to do songs that would inspire people and take all that songwriting energy that I had that used to be funneled into writing songs about life sucks into life is good. And I started to feel better. My life started to work. Everything was fun. I would look out at the audience, and they're just being inspired. And it was like, well, this works for me. And so I've been doing it now for about 20 years, and I just completely love it. It's really what I do.
So when you were singing the blues and other types of music, you were describing as "My Baby Done Left Me," and you were saying your life sucks. What do you mean exactly by that? What was going on with you?
Can't pay the rent, have lousy relationships, my self-esteem is in the toilet, I'm not feeling physically good. I mean, all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's just, I look at it like dominoes, that when you have one thought of unworthiness or one thought of whatever, I'm not good enough, or I've got to try harder, or, you know, life doesn't work, it's dominoes. It goes all the way down the line, how you feel about yourself, how your relationships are going to work, how you're going to see the world, because you're seeing the world through that filter of life is hard or life doesn't work. And so it's almost like I always imagine there's like this magic genie in the sky who says, yes, master, whatever you think, I will create for you. Yes, master. And so whatever you're thinking, you know, is what is going to be made manifest in the world. And, you know, the philosophy that I started out in that I continue to practice is what is called religious science, which is, or it's also called science of mind, which are the teachings of Ernest Holmes, which is really the concept of change your thinking, change your life, meaning whatever you're planting in your consciousness is what is going to grow. So it's like if you're planting a seed of unworthiness, what's going to pop up is more things that are going to demonstrate that as opposed to something positive, even if you don't feel it, even if you're not completely there feeling it. If you could just have that, plant that seed of, okay, I don't know what this day is going to bring, but I'm looking for the good. And you plant that seed and life will just sort of pop up giving you these little magical people or situations that will happen. So, you know, that's what happens in my songwriting. My songs are all completely self-involved, totally selfish, meaning all the songs I write are for my own affirmation of what's going on in my life. So whenever I do a concert, I always say to people, you know, you get to see what all my issues are because that's what I'm singing about. Whatever I want to affirm is what I'm writing songs about.
Right. Well, you know, you were talking about change your thinking. I always start the day wondering about what the highlight of my day is going to be.
Yeah, and what a great affirmation to just say, okay, what, you know, I'm open to this. What is it?
And with the ground of being that there is always a highlight. It might be a little thing. Kind of what you were saying on that Mother Teresa quote. Might be a little thing, but if we have that in mind, there's always a highlight, and it's just for us to look for that. It just it's a huge shift. So what do you tell people that are, I mean, it's great. Well, change, I've seen that quote a lot. Change your thinking, change your life. But how do people do that? I mean, they're struggling. Things aren't going well, and like you were saying before, the relationships aren't working well. You're not feeling well. Your health isn't good. You're struggling to pay your rent, and that's all you can think about is survival. How do you can't just say, well, I'm going to change my thinking and think it's all good.
Well, I think you actually with what you just said is I think what it really is that you take the smallest thing, even if you say, okay, today I'm going to look for being grateful for one thing. You know, my life might suck, but I'm going to just be conscious of one thing in this day that might make me feel grateful. And just by doing that one act, you start, again, the domino situation. You start to become more aware of looking for the good. I mean, I truly believe that when it's just this large brush paint thing of just, oh, change your thinking and everything's going to, you know, in that one moment, you're going to just change everything. You know, that's really overwhelming. That's like, really, if I'm in the toilet, if I'm feeling like I'm in the pits, how do I do that? But if you do the smallest step of just what you just said, of like, what good is going to happen in this day? Just that can turn, it's almost like I look at it, there's a great Rumi poem, which I wish I could quote right now off the top of my head about, you know, which way you turn your sails. You know, it's like when you turn your sail, just that little increment of a shift of looking for something to be grateful for, that can actually change the whole direction of your day, because where you were being in darkness, just even that little switch could just give a little bit more light, which then gives a little bit more light, which then gives a little bit more. And from that, you actually can really change the direction. You know, one of the things that's interesting, I think you saw me do a talk about my swimming career.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned that I was part of a women's relay team that swam the English Channel. And one of the things that I think is so fascinating about that swim is that we had to sign off before we did the swim that if a tanker ship is coming our direction, they have the right of way. In other words, if they mow us over, I've signed off saying, yes, you know, my fault. And so the thing that's so interesting about these tanker ships, and the reason why they make such a big deal about this, is that a tanker ship can't make, even the smallest amount of a right turn has to be made a full mile out They don't just all of a sudden make a right turn and it happens. It's like they have to know a mile out that they're going to start to make a slight right-hand turn and start that a mile away. And I think it's the same thing about what you're asking about. How do you change the direction if you're feeling, you know, not good? It's looking at right now, today I might not be feeling good, but I'm looking a mile out, and I want to start feeling better, so I'm going to start to change that direction in any small way I can. And it does come down to choosing, you know, that we choose every moment what we want to feel and what we want to do and what we want to eat. So maybe that one day you're going to say, well, instead of having 10 pieces of chocolate cake that I know are going to make me feel not so great, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go take a walk instead.
I just have one, huh?
Well, whatever. Yeah.
So what you're saying is kind of mirrors what I think is. I mean, even that with the tanker ship, that's a good metaphor to where we might change one little way of thinking or starting our day, which might seem insignificant in the big picture right now. But
right
it's
now,
really what
exactly.
We're doing is planting a seed.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you start, you know, when you plant that seed of something different in your life, then it's up to you to water it and nurture it. But it's like that concept of like when you plant a seed, you can't keep digging the seed up to go, well, are you growing? You know,
right.
You have to, I actually wrote a song with these other women called Step Away from the Seed. You know, it was all about plant the seed and step away, you know, just let it do its thing. And if you just start to, on a very small level, make it a spiritual practice that you're going to plant a seed of goodness every morning before you start your day. I mean, that's, you know, circling back around to what you said when you first introduced me about, you know, that I'm all about that music can help you do this. And the way that I start my day and how I encourage other people to start their day is by just, like, if you even listen to one song, I mean, it doesn't even have to be that you do a 30-minute or an hour-long sitting practice. It could be that you listen to one inspirational song that like, kind of builds up your vibration of goodness, and that can be it. You know, you could just listen to one song of just saying, I'm so grateful, or I'm so blessed, or whatever. And all of my chanting CDs, Songs of Spirit 1, 2, 3, and 4, all start off with the very first song is meant to be that, like, if you had, like, an alarm clock radio, that you're going to start your day listening to, thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day. Or, I start my day with love when I start my day with love. That's what I get more of is love. You know, so I have these songs specifically set for when you first wake up, that this is what you would hear. Because I truly believe it's in the first five minutes.
When you wake up at home, you mean at your house? Yeah, so
say it again.
That's your practice. You wake up to an alarm that is set to this CD.
No, I mean, that's just I don't anymore. But, I mean, I've put on these CDs. That was my intention. If someone had that they would, you know, they would hear, you know, that the very first song of the day would be that. I mean, let me put it this way. I know the difference of when you don't have something, that I was in a hotel and the very first song that I heard as I started my day was Linda Ronstadt singing to me, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. You know, baby, you're no good. You know, and so that's what was like the theme of my day was hearing that. Rambling around in my head all day long.
So I'm a big fan of the big idea that how you start your day. In fact, I think I gave you a copy of Dancing on the River, my first book, and it said how we start our day sets the tone for the whole day. So if you start your day in a hurry,
that's what I quote all the time. Yeah,
you're going to be in a hurry all day, and if you feel anxious when you wake up, playing catch up. So how do you start your day? What is your, do you have like a morning practice or?
I do. And actually that's my next book that I'm writing is all about this. So my practice is every morning I get my little coffee and I have this little place that I sit that I have my little affirmation cards. I pick an affirmation card. I have my Science of Mind magazine, which has Daily Science of Mind magazine, and then Daily Word from Unity.
Mm-hmm.
They both have
mm-hmm.
they're both magazines that you get monthly that have like the lesson for the day and an affirmation. So
mm-hmm.
I read both of those,
mm-hmm.
and then I
mm-hmm.
sit for a few minutes and I have meditation music happening in the background, and I usually just kind of sit and breathe, and I, you know, then I sometimes journal and look at what I want to do in the day. I usually look at my little gratitudes, you know, what I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I just set the tone for what do I want this day to be. So on my last album, actually, the first song on that album is Today I Choose. And the first lines say, what do I want to feel today? I choose. What do I want to be today? You know, and it's you really set the tone by saying, what is this day for? You know, what how do I want to serve? What is it that I want to do or be or feel or see? And so I usually take a few minutes to just kind of set that intention for the day, even if it's just picking a quality. I want peace today.
Mm-hmm.
I want presence today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then from there, I go off to my little swim workout, and that's the next part of my spiritual practice is being in water.
Wow. And you do that every day?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
What is your spiritual practice? What do you do in the morning?
I do right now. I do about an hour of yoga and meditation. And then I have a gratitude practice, maybe 30 seconds to a minute. Like I wonder, you know, I what I'm grateful for, usually starting out with love, health. Those are the first two. When I'm great, you know, I always say I'm grateful for my health because I think that's primary. That's number one is health, and then love. And I think where I've evolved to is when I was younger, I used to think there had to be one primary significant person who was the object of my love. Now I just feel that I come from love, and that if I come from love, I'll embrace it with other people. And so I focus on the love of my life. And that's,
mm-hmm.
And then I do a number of things, but it's not a long practice of that part of it after the meditation and the yoga. And then I do the highlight of the day, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. And I kind of think about what I have planned. It could be, well, I got this client or this radio show or whatever. And then I go, or maybe it's something I haven't thought about yet. So
right.
I have a practice I do. Maybe some I haven't thought about. And I'm always in that question of I wonder what the highlight's going to be. Or is this the highlight when I'm having a great experience? And so the idea is, you know, at the end of the day, your biggest question is what was the highlight? You might have two or three great things to
Well, yeah,
really
and Rachel Remen, who is a wonderful author in this area, she has a three-step process that she does at the end of the day that she says, and I'm quoting her because this is her practice, she says, what inspired me, what touched my heart, and
mm-hmm.
what surprised me. And
I
you
like
answer
that.
Those three questions at the end of each day.
So what inspired
me? What touched my heart,
yeah.
and what surprised me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, even just surprise.
I mean,
surprise. What surprised me, to me, you know, it just opens up that consciousness again. If you know you're going to ask yourself these questions at the end of the day, once again, like what you said about what is the highlight, it just sets up an openness in your day, in your consciousness, to be able to go through your day, because you just have that question way in the back of your mind, but it's there so that you start to take notice. I think that's when life shifts. Again, it's like, you know, it's putting your sails up. It's just like you catch that wind of opportunity or of being in awe of something, you know, and it's that alone can shift, you know, change your thinking. Just having that awareness of just what surprised me today? What is something that surprised me?
Positively.
Touched me. Yeah,
and what I found a lot of times, it's a little thing. It could be your dog, your pet, right?
Yeah.
Your pet playing, and or going to the grocery store. And I have a practice now because I tell people in the work I do, I always suggest this to people. And when I suggest things, I got to do it myself. I go, okay, I got to do this. Is I always address people by their name because they all have name tags, and the name tags aren't to report them if you don't like them. It's to acknowledge them for.
Right.
So they're helping you. And so I got into that. And it's amazing what happens, the smiles I get. And it makes that experience something that at one time I was just going through the motions to a great experience. You know, I was just thinking, I want to mention before I forget, how do people get a hold of you and get your books and stuff?
My website is KarenDrucker.com, and so I have a store on there. I have 19 CDs out at this point, and I have my book, Let Go of the Shore. And on my website, it also has my calendar. So, if you sign up on my email list, I send out a newsletter every month with a free download of a song of mine, and then I talk about where I'm going to be playing and hopefully coming to your area someplace. But, that's how people can see where I'm playing. It's on my website.
So tell me about your book, Let Go of the Shore. What's that about? I'm curious. I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
I'm just curious what it is to see if.
Let Go of the Shore It's all of my stories of what I had to let go of to get to the next place. The other thing about swimming the English Channel that I mentioned in my talk that he saw is that. You have to swim in a zigzag to get across the English Channel. That's the only way that you catch the currents to be able to do it. If you go straight across, which is 22 miles, you'll get swept out to sea. But if you go in a zigzag catching the currents, which is now 32 miles, you can get to the other side. And so what this book is it's really talking about Let Go of the Shore is really about how I just did this zigzag course. And these are all my stories. Some of them are funny or poignant, but all my different stories of coming from being a wedding singer, that's how I made my living for years, is singing New York, New York, and feelings 5 nights a week, playing in bars and doing all that kind of stuff, and just how life presented these different opportunities for me to do this zigzag course to get to what it is that I'm doing right now, and who knows where I'm going to, what the next zigzag will be for me, what I'll be doing in the next 10 years. I have no idea, but it's just all my stories of being a singer and finding my way in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what would you say up to now your biggest life lesson's been?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Well, I'm a fan of questions. I do these radio interviews all the time because I love questions. I think questions, every woman's retreat that I lead, I start off the first night with just a bunch of questions because I think that's the first way we can start to stir up the water, in our lives of if you have this still water with all the sediment that's dropped to the bottom, you just ask a few questions and everything just gets stirred up and you get to really see where you're at. So I think a question like that is just so poignant because it just feels like there's so many different layers to it. It feels like a diamond, like there's just all different ways to answer. But I would, the first thing that comes to my mind with that is actually what my book is about, is really letting go and trusting that if I flow with the way that life is taking me, and not resist it and let go. I mean, the title of the book is based on a song of mine called Let Go of the Shore, which the lyrics say, let go of the shore, let go of the shore and let the water carry me. Let go of the shore, float into the mystery. And it's really that. It's allowing myself to trust that I can float into the mystery and I'm going to be okay. And that life will take me in the direction that spirit is wanting me to express myself. And so if I just can let go and not be holding on with white knuckles to things, that I can flow into whatever is next and I don't have to try hard. It's just going to be presented to me. I might have to work hard at it, but I don't have effort and struggle to get there. It's taking me in that direction. So just go and be with it.
So really what I'm hearing is about letting go and trusting. And trust.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, trust.
That it's going to work out. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Be right.
It's going to be right because that's what we're, I'm just evolving to. You know, it's just like I think when, you know, when getting back to your question about when someone's not feeling good about their life, it's like it's taking the time to keep checking in with your heart and saying, you know, does this feel right to me? You know, and that's how you can really start to move in the direction of what makes you happy is just to really look at, you know, what is true for me? What is right? And when things are right, I believe it just really, it does flow like water. And when it's not right, there are these big boulders and log jams in, you know, in the flow of the water, and you're just pushing against it, and you're trying to make it work. And it's because it's, you know, something's not working. But all of a sudden, it could be that, you know, you get a new idea or you go in a different direction, and all of a sudden the log jam just moves, and you just are now flowing into what is ultimately yours to do.
Or using your metaphor, instead of zigzagging, you're swimming against the current.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. One of the things that's hysterical at the Dolphin Club where I swim in San Francisco when I swim in the bay, there are these old timers that are all part of the club that, you know, some of these guys are 80, 90 years old that get out there and swim every day, and all they do is they walk down the beach and they walk to the farthest end of the beach, they get in and they just take the current. They just swim on their back and they just let the current carry them right back into the club, get out of the water, go and get their brandy and sit in the sun and watch the girls walk by. And that's their daily practice. And I just, I love it. I mean, they just go where the tide's going. They don't even hardly even swim. But they go, well, I worked out. I can have a brandy now.
So the Dolphin, is that by Aquatic Park in San Francisco?
Yeah, that's the Aquatic Park. Yeah. That's where I swim.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've learned how to just trust more of that. I'm being guided. I mean, that's a big of my new book, The Soul of Uncertainty. I keep raising that question: am I being guided?
Yeah.
And
I think we all are. You know, if we just can stop and listen enough.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is people are so busy that they don't take the time. And then there's a lot of people that think that people like us that are always in these questions are a bunch of self-absorbed narcissists.
That's true, too.
I've been criticized, but it's what we're into.
Well, it's just it's a balance, you know. It's a balance of all this stuff. It's a balance of inquiry and discernment of your life and a balance of you know, being in and out. I mean, I just think it all comes down to balance. But, you know, the other point I want to make is that sometimes people will think that, you know, I keep circling back to, you know, you talking about the person who's just saying, well, how do I change my life? You know, that all of this stuff doesn't need to take a lot of time and doesn't have to be a big narcissistic.
That's a good point.
You know, because I think when I do retreats, then people haven't had the opportunity to do like a morning practice like this. Many people will raise their hands saying, well, I don't have an hour to do this mm-hmm. every day, you know, or it scares me to think I'm just supposed to do this. You know, it's like, it's got to be this thing that I do for, you know, all this time every day. And it just doesn't. I mean, literally I get emails from people saying, you know, thank you for your song. I am so blessed because I just sit in, I drive to work, I'll listen to your music on the way to work, but I'll sit in, you know, I'll get to work, sit in my car for 2 minutes and 59 seconds and just listen to that song or, you know, some song of mine that, you know, resonates with them for the day. And I listen to that song and then my day is started. I mean, that's my practice, is I just listen to one song that's going to set the tone for the day and that's it. You know, and it can be even just breathing, just allowing yourself to breathe for 1 minute and asking the question over and over in that moment, you know, what do I want this day to be? Or who am I to be today? Whatever question resonates with you, and it could be 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, you're saying your yoga thing for an hour. Whatever works for you is what it is.
That's because I have the time, too, nowadays. I've done all that stuff. So we're running out of time, speaking of time. And what would be your message to our listeners? To, in other words, if somebody thinks of you, Karen Drucker, what would you want them to remember about you?
I think the biggest message that I think that I say in my songs, in my talks, in my workshops, is about being gentle with ourselves. I have a song called I Will Be Gentle With Myself, which just says, I will be gentle with myself, I will be gentle with myself, and I will hold myself like a newborn baby child. And I think that's one of the things, when we just can lighten up and be just sweet to ourselves, just listen to what it is that you say to yourself, and if you're having a bad day, listen to the things that you're saying, the thoughts that you're having, and just try and change them around to just be like, just think of yourself as a child, and would you speak to a child the way you're speaking to yourself? You know, so if you're beating yourself up for something, just to be able to just say, wait, stop, okay, what do you need, little person inside me? What do you need here? You know, and just be sweet to yourself, and that's how your life can change, I think.
Okay, well, that's it. That's it for
the
day.
It. Yeah.
We're done. Thank you for a great conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
As a life coach and life discovery guide, Mark made his career change in 2001. The lessons, insights, and unique questions are provided for you in the book Dancing on the River, Navigating Life's Changes. Go to Amazon.com now and buy a copy. And tune in to Inspire Possibilities Show on PBS Radio every other Wednesday, 6 p.m., Station 1.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell. You're going to listen to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference. And every week I have somebody that I consider a cutting-edge thought leader, somebody who can inspire us, somebody who gets us to think about things maybe we don't ordinarily think about, and somebody who engages us so that we take some time for ourselves to kind of wonder about things, because we're all so busy and with stuff we have to do with our to-do list, and we don't really get into what we want to do, what we want to pay attention to. So hopefully you'll be with me for the next half hour or so, and I have Sherry Loveler on, who is an award-winning author, poet, writer, artist, and I have her book right now. It's called On Softer Ground, Paintings, Poems, and Calligraphy, and it's an award-winning book. And it's just something that when you pick it up, it makes you feel very peaceful. And I know that in our lives, with so much going on, we don't take those moments to find peace. And sometimes listening to a song, a poem, or just something we stare at and we put in our hands makes us have that feeling. So thanks, Sherry, for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you. I love your book, the way it looks, feels, and I've actually looked at some of the poems. And so what I'm interested in, this is just a great book, and there's so many different aspects to it. There's poetry, there's calligraphy, and it kind of something that you feel like you're almost in a Zen center. You pick it up and it has that quiet feeling. And so tell me about you consider this part of your spiritual journey, writing a book like this. And I know before we were really thinking about what would be really a great topic to talk about. And I think there's a connection between creativity and spirituality. And I think that at a certain level, we're all spiritual, we're all creative, and sometimes we just don't recognize that inside ourselves. So what about that idea? Do you kind of feel that we're all these creative beings just kind of waiting for an opportunity to express ourselves?
Yes, I do. And we do express ourselves in all sorts of ways, but we might not realize we're expressing ourselves in the way we dress and how we cook and how we behave. All that is our expression. And it is tied, since we are spiritual beings, it is all tied to that. And
In terms of like our everyday living, like you're saying, cooking, dressing.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
I do believe all that is part of our creativity. People think that you have to be a painter to be a creative or know how to draw. And those thoughts destroy people. I mean, you hear of so many kids, like they're wonderful artists till they're like four or five, and their teacher says, that's not a drawing, you know, or makes fun of them in some way. And they lose their connection to their creativity. And that's such a dangerous thing. And so many people spend the rest of their lives trying to regain it when it's really in them all along.
Mm-hmm. So what about you? Your book, when did your book come out?
It came out in January this year, 2016.
Uh-huh.
And it's the end result, but it's always a continuing journey. But I didn't start out to write a book. I actually started out to develop a spiritual practice that would enhance my painting and my connection to spirit. And the book is an outgrowth of that.
Mm-hmm. So what motivated you to kind of, you said you started this to develop this connection to spirit. What exactly do you mean by that? I mean, I think I know what you mean, but what do you mean by it?
Well, that there's more to life than meets the eye, that there's a deeper connection to life. I could call it God or spirit or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
My initial intention was that once in a while poems would come to me, like I'd want to write a poem to a sweetheart or a life event, kind of needed a poem
mm-hmm.
to get me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this with other poets or songwriters, that they grab a song out of the sky. And I wanted
mm-hmm.
to see if I could harness that energy. If instead of waiting for the poem to come, can I set a scene to make the poems come easier and deeper and more meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you
talk about set a scene to make them come easy. You know, I want to backtrack one second when you talk
mm-hmm.
about this feeling of there's more going on that meets the eye. That kind
mm-hmm.
of feeling, I think that's
yes.
what you said. And so what you're kind of saying was that your poetry and your all that kind of stuff, and the writing and the art was kind of a way to tap into that energy? Is that
exactly?
Kind of, yeah, okay.
Yes, and the feeling that if I show up, because I'm not channeling the poems or anything like that, and I feel like I need to show up and be there halfway, and it's kind of like spirit takes the other half. And part of my practice is to clear my mind and let whatever wants to enter. So as I'm starting to write a poem, the poem basically forms itself, and I just keep writing. And so what I've done is set this. Does that answer that?
Kind of. So like when you say the poem comes and you keep writing, so how long does it take to write a poem for you?
It could just be 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Wow.
And my quest for this is not to write a good poem. It's just to keep the energy flowing. So I do this twice a week, where I wake up, get a cup of tea, come back to bed, and invite the spirits of dead poets, basically, to sit with me, realizing that we don't do this alone. You know, we're in life and there's other forces here, and to access other forces into my poetry. So I
so
call
in. So how do you
in.
Invite? Yeah. How do you invite
say,
the? Yeah, how do you invite them in? You're in bed, so I call you the bed poet, right? The bed
right.
poet. This is how the bed
poet
does. As
long as it's not
does.
Bad poet.
Wakes up,
yeah.
has some tea, and invites the dead poets, the spirit of the dead
right,
poets.
So they don't. I don't invite
so
them into
how do you do
my
that?
Bed. I invite them into my room. So I sort of see them in front of me, so off the bed, beyond the bed. So I invite Dr. Maya Angelou and
yes.
Seamus Heaney, the Irish poet. That recently died.
Mm-hmm.
Angeles Arian, who's a spiritual teacher that passed, I don't know, a year or maybe a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
Rumi and Rilke.
Uh-huh.
And so I do a formal, you know, welcome, good morning, thank you for coming here. And then I borrow the Living Angels, and they don't know this, from Mary Oliver and David White, a poet, a Welsh poet.
I love David White.
Yeah, yeah, me too. So I have this company, and whether it's made up or not,
so,
it doesn't
on,
matter
hang
to
on
me.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Okay, I'm still not clear how you invite them in. I mean, what do? You say something, or do you think about them, or do you say, hey, what do you think? How do you, what goes on here? I'm a little, I'm not sure exactly because
okay.
I'm kind of curious. It's getting me thinking too about. How I can
Who
do
can you invite into your life?
Who can I invite into my life?
Right?
Yes.
I just welcome them. I just say
uh-huh.
good morning. And I forgot John O'Donohue. He's wonderful.
Uh-huh. I love him.
Yes.
So what do you say?
So,
hey, Maya, welcome Maya, welcome John, or
exactly.
do you do a formal?
I
do.
Just say, yes, welcome. I call each one by name. I don't
uh-huh.
visualize their bodies. So it's more energetic, and
okay.
I don't even know what some of these people look like. But,
mm-hmm.
it's yeah, welcome. Welcome, Dr. Maya Angelou. Welcome, Seamus Heaney. Welcome, and I go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just assume they're there. And it was interesting. When I first invited Dr. Maya Angelou after she died very soon after that, I wrote a poem that was so unlike me, of life experiences that weren't part of my life that might have been more of her life. And a few
so
months after...
I got to hear it.
Actually, I
gotta
sorry,
hear
I don't have that one. I
oh,
didn't
my
prepare
God.
That
so
one.
You're like... I can't believe that.
Oh,
you're
dear.
You're teasing us.
I am. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I didn't plan
you know
for
what?
That.
Okay. Okay, then read another one. Read one. Read,
I'll read
what's
another
your
one.
Do you have a favorite poem from your book on Softer Ground?
I have a
By
few,
the way,
but,
I want to
go ahead.
Remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. My guest is Sherry Loveler, the author of On Softer Ground, a book of paintings, poems, and calligraphy. And we're just having a great conversation. And you know what? You don't have a favorite one. I just opened the book.
Okay.
And I turn to this poem. It says evening.
Okay.
So do you want to read that? Do you want me to read it? Do you want to read it? Or?
I'll read it. It's
okay.
actually the first poem in the book.
Oh, my God. I thought it turned
yeah.
to the middle of the book. So.
Well, there's a few pages before the poetry starts. So,
uh-huh.
yes.
Evening.
Yes. Evening. Feel with evening. As the moon enters my veins, the awe at first sight from sliver to full. The stars, once hidden by the sun, now shine against the darkened sky. Every night this show, every chance I take to feel with evening, every falling star my own. And that one has a painting. So all of my poems, all the paintings in this book were inspired by the poems first. So my practice has been to write the poem and then to do a painting that reflects
mm-hmm.
it in some way. So this is kind
I'm
of a starry night.
Looking,
yeah. There's some calligraphic marks. My background is in calligraphy. And I'm not writing the words as in traditional calligraphy where you would write the words of the poem in a painting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that, but I'm using calligraphic mark making, things I have learned from calligraphy like the use of gold leaf or some of the squares, things that might have been used in ancient manuscripts. So I bring in that into the painting.
I see. So what about, so when you do the writing, do you like do longhand or do you, I mean, or do you have a device or how, what's your approach? You write it out with your hand?
I write it out. I write it out by hand. And so I'm in bed again. I have a little notebook. I have about 10 of these now that I've filled up. And I also read. So I invite the spirits in, and then I read from a spiritually oriented book. So what happens then is I will read and a phrase or a sentence, or sometimes even just the use of a word or two words together, will inspire the poem. And I'll kind of get the chills, and I'll know I hit the right phrase. And then I start writing. This particular poem, Feel with Evening, those words, because usually we would say feel evening, but the thought of feel with evening just struck me. And then that became the start of the poem. And so it's... And most of these, and I don't, when I write the poem, I do write the name of the book that inspired it, and the page, and the date. So I could always go back to the reference.
So what book inspired this one?
This was actually, again, you caught me off guard with this one.
I can't help it.
This was from a poem.
I can't help it.
Someone had sent me a book in the mail. It was a journal on the days of the year. And this was in there. Gosh, I wish I could just run and get it, but I'm not sure I could find it that easily.
No, that's fine. So this is the process you go like twice a week? You're saying two mornings a week is what you do?
Yes, two mornings a week, Tuesday and Friday mornings. And I don't my computer
And do you, like, have a certain amount of time you do this, or?
No, I don't set aside a certain amount of time, but it usually doesn't take more than half an hour. And if a poem doesn't come, sometimes it's just kind of gibberish or not very good, and I'll call those pre-poems, and then I'll write another poem, and a similar poem, but just keep writing it, and all of a sudden a poem will form. And then other times they just come right away. And then other times they're just not good. I mean, I've been doing this for over 7 years, so I have over 700 poems. And out of this, I just chose 24 for the book. And I also have a blog that I put up. I have, I think, 88 poems on there. So the whole collection of the pairing.
And what's the name? What's the name
the
of your blog?
The blog is natureartandpoetry.com. And it's the word A-N-D, and nature, art, and poetry. So that's the blog. And
so they just type that in their device, and they'll get the blog?
Yes, natureartandpoetry.com.
How often do you blog?
That depends. And the blog is not my writing about things. It's just the poem and the painting.
I see.
And I've been doing it since 2010. In the first year, I had a lot. I did 37 posts the first year. I might be down to like two this year so far. I've been so focused on the book. And
that happened to me too.
Yeah.
I used to blog 3-4 times a week, and then I'm lucky to get a blog up a month now because I was focusing on my book, you know. So well, I just think your book is great. Again, I encourage the listeners to pick a copy up on Softer Ground. How do they get your book, Sherry?
It is available on Amazon.com. Just type into Amazon on Softer Ground, Lovler, my last name, L-O-V-L-E-R. They'll come up with that. I also sell it on my own website, which is artandpoetry.com. So the first one was the blog, and then also on artandpoetry.com, which is more of my website.
So what about now these two mornings you do your poetry, and again, what do you do the other mornings? Do you like get out of bed earlier?
I just get out of bed. I don't wake up. I'm self-employed, so I don't wake up with an alarm. So I just busy about. I have a business where I sell calligraphy prints online, and so I handle customers and ship out orders and things like that. And then I also paint. So that was the poetry practice. The painting practice is a little bit different from that. So, but it's also a similar thing where I'm reaching for the spiritual in my painting. And sometimes that means, and I'm not inviting the spirits of dead artists in my room. It's a little different. But I'm inviting the intuitive process. I'm training my intuition, and that might be related to spirit as well. It's like in the poetry, the words flow. In the painting, it starts becoming a quick thought, like use this color or use this tool or do this quickly. And I'm learning to not question those impulses the same way that I don't question the poetry when it comes. So my training has really been in writing the poetry, and now I'm pushing the training into the painting and seeing where that goes.
You know, I have something I want to get your opinion on. It's a lot of us sometimes don't feel we want to do some form of art, like play music or write poetry, draw, write paintings. But a lot of people, and especially the work I do, you know, as a life coach, is they feel, well, I don't feel inspired. I don't feel creative. Mm. What would you say to somebody that, I mean, I have my own feeling about that, but I'm just curious about what your approach would be. I mean, I'm sure maybe there isn't, but there are plenty of times when I don't feel inspired to I'm writing this last book, or play music, but I do. And I always say that out of the doing comes the inspiration. You get excited by your creation. But a lot of people haven't really experienced that. They say, well, I have nothing to say. I don't feel inspired. And I can't see anything. Do you think there's a way that we can, I always think of it as there's like a, that these ideas come from some other place. And there's a bridge. And that we have access to, and if we can access that bridge, then these ideas can come to us. And I was wondering if you kind of think that way too.
I do, and that's exactly, in other different words that you said it, the bridge to that, accessing that, that's what all this is about. And so I think in finding a practice in a time, in setting, and I know this doesn't work for a lot of people, setting a time to be creative, but or even 15 minutes. I've gone on these programs, self-imposed programs with my painting, of just doing something for 15 minutes a day. And it's amazing how much you could get done in 15 minutes. And also that you could just do anything. And even if you don't do anything good, you know, you just wasted 15 minutes. And I think people can find 15 minutes to do something. And what
it's
I also
interesting, you know, is the 15-minute approach.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe this, but I have the same approach. I have a timer.
Oh, really?
I set for 15 minutes, especially now with my music, if I'm working on a song, and because a lot of it is getting more familiar with what I'm doing and developing my technique. And I go, okay, for 15 minutes, I can just focus on this one thing.
Yes.
And I can let whatever. And setting the timer, it gives me that freedom to.
Yes. And I did the same thing.
So,
I set a timer as well.
You have the same timer?
I have the same timer. It's called the art timer. And then also another thing is to pay attention to the blocks that we create ourselves that keep us in this form of resistance. So I'm currently reading a book called The War of Art, and it talks about this resistance. And I've noticed in myself that I make a mess in my studio. And people say that's okay because you're being creative. But it physically blocks me. And so, you know, it's just like delving in a little bit deeper. It's like, all right, why am I allowing myself to block myself? What is my fear? You know, my fear might be that I can't paint anymore, or nothing good will come of it, or I really don't know what I'm doing, you know, or any of those kinds of things. So
Sherry,
looking into those blocks.
Yeah, do you still, I mean, now here you are, you've been doing this for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
probably, I mean, you said 7 years, but my sense is you've probably been doing this most of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Do these feelings still come up today, would you say? That here you are, you know, published author and poet, and they still do?
Yes. I kind of natural that we still have our own doubts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm doing my paintings are all abstract paintings, and it's not like I just sit and use my technique and can do a landscape, you know, which would be beautiful, but I'm kind of coming in from something in my mind or just letting things happen. And so, you know, actually I always doubted my ability as an artist, because I don't draw very well and I don't even like to draw. I don't have that kind of patience.
Mm.
So when that becomes a standard for art, and it often is, you know, there are things to work against and to overcome. And so I do work with that fear. And one of the things I'm trying to do now is work larger, and it's harder. And I have to lay out, I work on paper, and I have to lay out these long sheets of paper in my living room and take over that. And there are so many blocks about that. And can I do this? Can I do it larger? And it's a new, different challenge.
You mean larger, you mean bigger.
Bigger, yes.
I mean the painting's
bigger. Bigger paper, physically bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think as an artist,
you know,
it's important. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I wanted to cover, we are running out of time, but
mm-hmm.
I kind of, you know, for like in the workplace, you know, I think that to me the word that really is very similar to creativity would be innovation, innovative
mm-hmm.
thinking, creative thinking, and how the same type of process allows us to come up with these new ways of handling a situation, new insights, new possibilities. And
mm-hmm.
So what about, you know, you're talking about spiritual practice. Do you have a spiritual practice the other 5 days of the week?
It's not as regular, but I do meditate
uh-huh.
quite often, not
uh-huh.
every single day,
uh-huh.
but I do
uh-huh.
several times a week. I meditate. I also do yoga. I do qigong.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been fairly new for me. I've been doing it about 6 months, and
mm-hmm.
that's been an amazing process of feeling the chi, the energy, run through our bodies, and so that's been a practice. So I seem to have a lot of different practices. I actually do some meditation. It's some Zen koan meditation at a nearby place. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
so I keep up a lot of spiritual stuff in my life.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's one for you. What's next for Sherry Loveler?
Yikes.
That's what I said when somebody asked me that.
Right, yeah. What's been really interesting with the book is I see the book as taking me on a journey.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like bringing me places that I would not have expected to go. So poetry readings have been really interesting, and I talk about the process, and I usually show my paintings along with it. So I'm continuing to do poetry readings. I am this next Wednesday in Healdsburg at the Healdsburg Center for the Arts. I am doing my first reading with music. I have a sax player to work with me.
Mm.
And we did our first rehearsal last week,
uh-huh.
and it was so much fun. And so we're going to do another rehearsal, and then I'll do that. I'll be reading four poems with sax. So that's been fun. I have a show coming up at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts in February. one of the smaller galleries. They have three galleries there.
Uh-huh.
And so I need to come up with all new paintings for that. So, and I don't know yet if it'll be poetry interlaced with the paintings or the paintings will be on their own. So I keep pushing myself. And
good
I think as artists, we need to do that because I don't want to get complacent and just think I could do something
right.
over and over again. So it's keep pushing myself out there and see what there is and how I can handle it. So.
Right, so you're open to the whatever, if we say spirit or possibility or the mystery, wherever it takes you. And,
yeah.
And we don't know. And I think that, you know, my new book's called The Soul of Uncertainty, and it's this idea that, hey, this uncertainty that we're coming into can be very exciting, can be a
yes.
real adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a spirit that it seems that you've embraced. I'm not saying embracing, it sounds like you've already taken that on.
Mm-hmm. But yes.
So we're running out of time.
Yes.
We're going to have to say goodbye for now.
Well, this was
what
fun.
I'd like to know is if you could leave our listeners with one thought about the creative process, what would that be?
Go for it. I find nothing more enjoyable in life than to follow that creative path because that's our
mm-hmm.
Our personal work, I think. I mean, we all come into life, we wonder what our life's about, and I think when we tap into the creative flow, it's the work that only we could do. Every individual has that, and we're here to do our own job, and I think it's important to find that path and share that out into the world to make the world a better place.
Wow. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much for being the guest.
All right, you're welcome.
The Inspire Possibility Show, and this is a conversation that will continue to evolve.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for staying tuned. Every week, every interview is with somebody that is fascinating. Until the meantime, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities.